because our strength is in thee. How can we sit here and not be bawling and squalling and groveling and crying and shaking and shivering? Because we're godlike. We know his ways. We've come to know the God of the forefront is there before we get there. Remember the sermon I preached on Paul and the shipwreck? When all hope was lost, then the word of the Lord came. We are blessed because our strength is in him. And we are blessed, for in our heart are his ways. Do you know, we would happily kiss the 6.5 million goodbye and move out rejoicing. Go to another theater or go back to King's House 1 and never bat an eye. If, as a result of what we've done, and including having to move out, this place stood forever without the wrecking ball hitting it, and someone else maintained it and guaranteed that the Lord of hosts, our King and our God, his testimony remained in the heart of the city of the angels, and those Jesus saved signs never came down. Do you remember? Do you remember? Solomon? Two ladies came, each claiming the same child, the real mother and the fake mother. Solomon couldn't tell by looking. So he said, I'll just make it easy for you. I'll cut the kid in half. Which part do you want? He knew that he would find the real mother with that, because the real mother instantly said, let the other one have the child. It couldn't bear seeing it cut asunder. The other mother was thus revealed, and Solomon gave, or the other non-mother was thus revealed, and Solomon gave the child, the real mother. We are prepared with a smile on our face to leave this building today to anyone that would preserve it, keep that testimony on the front of it, and keep those Jesus saved signs up, and would go our way knowing that we, in accordance with God's ways, had been his instrument to preserve his testimony, whether we're here or not. Ask that other bunch if they care that much about God's house. They've already got 6.5 million of our money. We paid that. They would still walk away with that. We offered to pay them off in a year the full 23 million. Public record in the courts now. And we would forfeit all that. Smilingly. To see this place stay alive as the last sacred testimony in the city of the angels. Why? How could we do that? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of thee. God's word has something to say about tearing down sacred places. How many of you know the Bible warns in the last days about the churches, rich, increased in goods, no life in them. God's watching this scene, and he sees the people that care about his work and his tabernacles. Blessed is man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca. Baca means weeping. I don't need to pause on this. I've preached too many times. You buy the tapes. This blessed man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of thee, pass through all valleys of weeping. Valleys of weeping will come. You can do nothing for God without confronting the stress and struggle that is the problems that go along with being an instrument of God's will in this society under the control of the prince of the power of the air. It'll always be a valley of weeping. I keep saying to myself when I get carnal, why couldn't we save this building without pain? Blessed men go through valleys of weeping. That's part of the trip, friends. But blessed men go through it. We're going through. That's why I said, it ain't over till it's over. You can't believe how many wakes have been held over my ministry. Getting to work, like some countries where they have professional mourners at funerals. There are some people that have done it so often for me. There ought to be some special collection center for those people who leave a name and address so they can be called up for each new wake. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Blessed men go through. Now, if you got $23 million in the bank, you don't have to worry about the valley. You never get blessed. Blessed men go through. See, the thing's wrong with most of the church world today, they want to avoid the valleys of weeping. Blessed men whose strength is in thee and in whose heart are the ways of thee go through valleys of weeping. There it is. You lower your head and say, this must be done. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I'm going to make sure one stays in Los Angeles who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a well. The literal is, make it to become a place of springs. Isn't it interesting that in the newspaper I would be faulted by a pastor of the Church of the Open Door for having political friends like Mayor Bradley, Gilbert Lindsay, and other council members? That reminds me of the viewpoint of some Pharisees in the New Testament. What are our councilmen? Pariah? I think Gilbert Lindsay's got more righteousness in the dirt under his fingernail than these hypocritical fundamentalists that are accusing me of doing something wrong to be his friend. They spent 70 years here. And Gilbert Lindsay was, how many years did he say? 24 years on the council floor and had never been inside this building. Mayor Tom Bradley peddled newspapers as a boy, but never had the opportunity to stand on this platform and say, praise the Lord. We've only been here a few months. That says a lot, friends. Attendance record still back there on the wall. 300, 400, 500 on Sunday, 160, 140 on Sunday night. If it got cold in here, you could cover them all with one big blanket. And 20% of that little band went out to Glendora, according to their records, in court, and need $23 million to build a church. Or to buy a blanket. Whether we save this church or don't, and we're going to, Whether we do or don't, we've turned this place into a place of springs. And I've preached many times telling you, look, when you face a problem in your life, will you get your head together that blessed men go through valleys of weeping? They're part of the trip. And quit acting like that Christianity delivers you from them. We're in the stuff of life. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom and ought to act like it. But we're still pilgrims down here and part of the journey. For those that have their strength in the Lord and are engraved in their heart with His ways, we face a valley, we go through it, and we determine it'll become a place of springs. We've turned this very valley into a place of springs. Waked up a city to the treasure that this house is. We've done in 7 months what they couldn't do in 70 years. You say, blessed, that means we're going through the valley, friends. We're turning it into a place of springs. You say, oh, well, this must be hard for them to take. Well, they started it. I offered peace. They started it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Boy, I'm done with this preacher, this sermon. I'll get rid of all the spies they sent today. You know, if I were a man of violence, which I ain't, I'd say kick him in the ass on the way out. And make the job easy. You wouldn't have to aim. Just anywhere you hit him. I didn't pick this fight, friends. I offered peace. Facts are facts. Oh, hypocrites hate being exposed. Why do you think they crucified Jesus? Dare any of you go to law against a brother and that before the unbelievers? They skip all that. They get down to the fornicating. That's about 9 verses in. They skip over conveniently that part that's painful. I'm willing to do without both. I suspect if you got to have one, you might have to have the other. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
And psychologists will tell you the principle of reverse reaction has it. The one you yell and condemn the most is the one you're probably guilty of. Blessed is the man who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a well. And when we have done that, people have always said, you know, I can't figure this church out, can't figure Scott out, because he always seems to win by losing. When you do it God's way, friend, which says, my strength is in Him, His ways. This church has always been noted being willing to sacrifice itself for God. What did I need with Faith Center? You know, I fired some people that were doing some things they shouldn't have been doing, and to try to get back at me, they accused me of coming down to rip the church off. I said, my Lord, you know, if I think I'm smart enough that even my enemies will figure out if I want to rip something off, I don't look for an organization that owes $3.5 million in 30 days and has 19,000 cash to pay it. I can find a better place to rip. I came to Faith Center because I said a church that has faith in its name must not go under. I didn't need it. I was happy and well healed and enjoying the beaches en route to the mission fields. But God's honor was at stake. We didn't need this church. We can rent the Shrine Auditorium 52 weeks out of the year for less money than it takes to maintain this. We don't need this for 2 hours a week. This is insanity from the business standpoint. God's honor was at stake. In our heart are the ways of Him. Our strength is in Him. And the fact that it's given us a valley of weeping for a year and a half, we're going to go through it. We've already seen it become a place of springs. And then the rain, literally says, also covereth the pools. When God figures out that we won't quit in our act of faith, He's got His shower of blessing coming. The rain also covereth the pools, and I have a final word to my enemies. These kind, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. We'll be away from them eventually, folks. They go from strength to strength. I'll see you here next Sunday. Lindsay's motion would have to be approved by the City Cultural Heritage Commission. Done. Signed, sealed, unanimously passed. Already. And the City Council. Well, City Council has already been the party designating it. But people who have no sense of history are not expected to know what has happened. If passed, the historic designation would save the building for at least 1 year and make it more difficult to demolish it in the future, according to city officials. Lindsay said he will be consulting with attorneys to see if there are legal actions he can take to save the church. He said he was motivated by a combination of civic pride and personal interest. To worshipers at the Hope Street Church 2 weeks ago, the councilman promised, quote, "With me talking loud in the council in this city and by ordinances we have that the council has passed, hell's going to freeze over before they close this." End quote. Attempted to win an injunction against sale of the building, but a Los Angeles Superior Court judge ruled against him last November. Scott has appealed the decision. Woolery accuses Scott of trying to use his friendship with Lindsay and other politicians They had 70 years here and couldn't win a friend. My Bible says Jesus was a friend of sinners. Much less saints. And Tom Bradley and Gilbert Lindsay are saints. They're not the only ones. ought to be proud of a city council that cares about preserving the last historic monument in the heart of Los Angeles. Woolery accuses Scott of trying to use his friendship with Lindsay and other politicians, quote, to win in the political arena what he has lost in court. I ain't lost yet. Where'd he get that idea? Which I don't ever recall losing, ultimately. It ain't over till it's over. We ain't even begun to fight. We've been trying to make peace and having it refused. Kokora said several developers have expressed interest in buying the property at auction on Tuesday to build a high-rise. A developer would have to pay millions in dollars in air rights to the Central Library, he said. Why doesn't he take some of the millions we've already given him and make a $10,000 pledge like other good citizens did out of their working money? Man's actions speak louder than his words. The city knows who it is that cares about this city and cares about the Central Library. Now, not because of the historic monument issue. That issue will proceed. But they could foreclose on Tuesday and take the property and maintain it as a historic monument. That's what they're worried about. They don't want to maintain this historic monument. So I want you to understand the foreclosure could take place on Tuesday in spite of the historic designation. And they would become the owners of a historic monument. Well, now, I have a sense of history, and I watched the way they took care of it before we got here. I'm telling you, not because of the historic monument designation. There ain't going to be no sale Tuesday. Don't come and stand in the...
I'll finish that sentence. Don't come and stand in the rain or the sunshine on the courthouse steps expecting to see a sale. One ain't going to occur. And I said to that congregation, well, how is it going to be stopped? Well, we'll see, won't we? The city council won't stop it. The city council is expressing their civic sense of responsibility, and they ought to be applauded to make what is truly... See, you don't create historic monuments. You recognize their existence. It can be foreclosed on as a historic monument if the parishioner's lawsuit is correct. It always was a trust. And a trust exists to serve a purpose. And the administrators administer it on a day-to-day basis. And it's not theirs to sell. That's going to be settled in litigation. Between the parishioner and the church. Now they can also return as trustees of a historic monument. The city council is not stopping any foreclosure. They're just recognizing, and to be commended for it, that there's one last monument downtown. The city library is burned. It has to be rebuilt. That's it. Now, there are many witnesses from the mayor, the councilman that I said in the day we moved in, I want it put back on the tax roll. I want that building, as long as we have anything to do with it, available to the city for any use they want. Ever since the fire, we've made available the Talbot Chapel for the personnel of the library for whatever purpose they want. It has acoustics that rival Carnegie Hall in New York City. New York City spent $100 million to refurbish it for the public. A 4,300-seat auditorium built in the 1912 to 1915 period, before microphones were perfected, with acoustics that are unbelievable. You've read in the media coverage of string quartets, musicians going back to Carnegie, rejoicing because they can perform for the benefit of the public in an auditorium that gives a true sound. We don't have to spend $1 million in Los Angeles for such an auditorium. It's already there. Church of the Open Door can foreclose and take over the administration. As I said to my congregation, we never needed the church in the first place. Well, we use it 2 hours a week. I can rent the Shrine Auditorium for less money annual than it takes to maintain that building. Our interest was to save it for God and for His glory, and as a sacred place in the city of the angels. The city council, acting on a resolution by Gilbert Lindsay, more than a week ago, considerably more, proposed it as a monument at their initiative. The commission's already examined the building. The commission's already held a publicly announced public hearing. And the commission has already voted unanimous to designate it. It can be foreclosed on as a historic monument. But citizenship carries with it a certain responsibility. I don't want it off the tax roll. The reason, I don't want to face the problem that I read was faced by Bob Shuler in Orange County when he wanted to have public events, that the tax exemption was exclusively for a church. I don't want that. I want to pay tax on the property and make it available as a gift to the city. Use any way they can. So the designation doesn't stop the foreclosure. Something else will. You say, what? Well, read about it in the papers, folks. I invite the public to join me as I preach on Hope Street next Sunday at 11 o'clock. The spirit of Harry Truman still lives. We've always had the capacity to buy that building. The problem is what we set out to buy is not what we're getting. And we still, as per my letter and all other offers of settlement, we've still been willing pay the full $23 million. And the refused offer said, we'll pay it in a year or give you a deed in lieu of foreclosure and you can sell the building for the full value again and you've got over $7.5 million from us. That's pretty good interest in 2 years. Or a year and a half. From July 3rd, 86 until December 31st, 87, to get almost $8 million and still be able to sell the building for $23 million or whatever. We had that offer rubbed in our face. and fundamentalists who say every word of the Bible is true, and they love to camp out on sending anybody to hell that's had an abortion. I believe only God has a right to take life, but I don't think that it's yet settled where life begins. And if some research has indicated the cell structure of the mother may be affected by the carrying of the fetus, at what point does cell to cell differ in life value? I'd just like a little more humility on the subject and less condemnation. I have in my church people that have gone through the tragedy of divorce and remarriage. They must always be second-class citizens in these fundamentalist camps. Just because some ugly fundamentalists have found each other and nobody else would have them and they stick together doesn't make them superior Christians. I believe in the family. My mother and dad will celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary this December. But I also know that there are tragedies in life, and God's grace and peace and forgiveness is available for people. They ought to have a chance to start over without wearing what the Jews were forced to wear in Germany, some kind of special marking on them put by superior self-designated Christians, beating on them all the time. I think the good news of the gospel and the message is grace and peace, and that the change should come as you and God work it out. And the same verses of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 6 that talk about fornicating also condemn suing a brother before unbelievers. Jesus said, if they sue you, your coat, give them your cloak also. At least I'm willing to admit that I don't live up to the standard, and I'm trying by faith to appropriate God's grace, which is grace's power, which hopefully changes me a little bit as I continue to go on, and more I become like Him. But I got a long ways to go. Now, I'm telling you, there ain't going to be no sale Tuesday. I have faith. I have faith that God's going to work the miracle. We didn't create the problem. We've offered to reconcile the problem at our expense. I don't like to read hypocritical statements in the paper, as though people who wouldn't pledge a dime when the telethon was on for 51 hours are concerned about getting money for the Central Library. None of the $23 million they want is going to go to the Central Library. And the citizens of this city and this state have a right to be properly served by their public servants, the councilmen, to stop tearing everything down and preserve a structure that can have this kind of meaning for the city. That's the way it is on Sunday, March the 9th, or March the 8th. God bless Councilman Lindsay and the other councilmen who have recognized the value of this structure. And I hope the citizens that listen will write them letters and let your appreciation be heard. I think we ought to play Two Old Cats. You give me your reaction. I'm telling you, next Sunday we'll be on Hope Street. Tries to beat people to death with verbalatry. I teach God loves you, and grace, unmerited favor, and peace, cessation of againstness is your portion from God and from His, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His Son, who died for us. I tell you, you and God got a right to work your faith out without some mental midget trying to coerce you into His image. But these are fundamentalists. Now, this would be equally true if we were trying to beat them out of some money. They keep trying to, you know, wherein you judge another, you're guilty yourself. They keep saying, I want to buy it as a cut-rate price. There's, and the courts will show this, there are abundant records, including this letter that's on file, that we have never once, even after we swallowed the bile of knowing that what we set out to buy was not what we were getting, never once have we ever suggested that we pay them less than the $23 million. We've just said it's harder to raise money for it now that it's not what we set out to save as commercial property. My church knows that most of the income that comes to the church is in response to my teaching. I'm a flesh and blood person that can have an accident on the freeway or a heart attack. And in my sense of fiduciary duty and that of our board when we bought the church, we felt we were forever securing in the event something happened to me or the ministry changed its tone and future generations, they would have a viable piece of property to sell. That's not the case now. We still are willing to pay $23 million, but only if I can be honest to the world in the way in which I raise the money. And we can't raise it as a commercial piece of property, and we can't do what we originally set out to do. We specifically required that there would be no due on loan clause if we refinance. Most people, when you buy from them, if you finance from a bank, won't let you get a second. We had specific terms to remove no due on lease clause because we anticipated working with some hotels and joint ventures on the two towers. We specifically had a letter amendment on the agreement that we could get secondary financing as long as it was applied to the first when we did it. And we had the opportunity with balloon payments coming up to go out and get secondary financing. When the lawsuit and the Les Pendants hit, all that stopped. Our hands were tied. We were in $6.5 million. We still have always been willing to pay the $23 million. We've simply asked for a little bit of mercy. In time, we have said we can amortize it with a fair note, which we can pay out of our general fund. Not once have we ever equivocated on the full $23 million plus interest, and every time we went into a court, we offered to give a full bond that we would put in the court of $138,000 per month the first time, now in this letter, $140,000 a month. Now we gave an offer that would have paid it off in a year, or we would have willingly given a deed in lieu of foreclosure, and we would have forfeited. Now, Jesus tells a parable about a husbandman, the type of God, who has a servant that owes him some $9.5 million. He says, get his wife and kids and sell them, the master did. Pay the bill. This servant came and pleaded for mercy. Said, I'll pay you, just give me some time. The master not only gave him time, he forgave his debt. That same forgiven servant went out and found somebody that owed him 15 cents or thereabouts. And that one who owed him said, I'll pay you, just give me some time. The servant that had been forgiven $9.5 million by his master took the other servant that owed him pennies by the throat and threw him in jail. Jesus is teaching this parable. I ain't the fundamentalist, you know. And other servants who saw that went and told the husbandman that had forgiven that cruel servant, unjust servant, his large sum. And that master who was God not only withdrew the forgiveness and reestablished the note, but delivered him to his tormentors. And Jesus was teaching that. If Jesus has said, if another man sue you for your coat, give him your cloak also. It's Paul that said, unequivocally, the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians has never been challenged in the canon. It's always been canonized, always been attributed to Paul. You don't sue a brother before unbelievers. I'm not a fundamentalist, but I, for the sake of the testimony of the churches, pled that we might settle it that way. They've always been going to get their money. The only people that are going to lose their money is this church losing $6.5 million that it gave in good faith before the lawsuit started. I have offered publicly to go 1 Corinthians way, where it says, get the least esteem in the church to judge. I've said, I'll pick six church people. They can pick six church people. And we'll conduct a trial before these 12 church people, and I'll stipulate to their judgment. That's what Paul is saying. Go before the church. Don't play this out in front of the whole world. They chose to ignore my plea. and brought it before the whole world in radio program and then in these quotes. What did I say to the Herald Examiner? It ain't over till it's over. But I read my name bandied around. I didn't buy the church. Everybody knows that. Public records show that. I'm sick and tired of this business of trying to make me and the church synonymous. My church is probably 4 or 5 times, 10, 15 times bigger than theirs. And I tell my people every Sunday what's going on. The records in court indicate their church never did vote on this sale, the specific sale to Westcott, which is what they're being charged by their parishioner as violating Corporations Code Section 9631. Now, it ain't over till it's over. What may be over is the pretensions of these pharisaical fundamentalists who love to hunt and peck and find the verse that can club you poor sinners to death with while they hide behind the mask of self-righteousness until somebody like me comes along and says, okay, I'll go according to 1 Corinthians 6. Let's see if you will. Oh, no, that hurts. That hurts. I mean, if you don't know how to have a good time at a party, you can condemn partygoers. But 1 Corinthians 6:1 gets right down to the nubbin. Oh, well, we're not going to law. We're just defending ourselves. We didn't file the foreclosure notice, folks. We ain't foreclosing on anybody. Now, Romans 13 says, powers that be are established by God. And a good fundamentalist is supposed to respect those that are in government above them. I'm the one that has gotten a reputation for fighting politicians. Now I'm being criticized for being a friend of politicians. I mean, Romans 13, just like 1 Corinthians 6, says you submit to those in authority above you. Because they wouldn't have the power if God hadn't ordained it. Now, the city council proposed this building as a historic monument. These rebellious fundamentalists, one who cast aspersions as though there's some pariah down there in the city council that doesn't care about the central library. Well, some of them served on the phones. I didn't see a pastor from the Church of the Open Door in here volunteering. By the way, they make a big to-do out of people answering these phones. Any member of the Church of the Open Door and all the pastors and elders of the Church of the Open Door would have been welcome to serve on these phones during the telethon. We invited everybody to come and serve on these phones during the telethon if they cared about the library. Councilman Wu was here. Mayor Tom Bradley was here. Where was all this neighborly concern for the library? Walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, probably thinks like a duck. Not a word of scripture in the Bible says I shouldn't smoke this cigar. Can't find one anywhere. Dare any of you go to law against a brother. That's 1 Corinthians 6. Matthew, if they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. They sue you at law, it says. Romans 13. Those that are in government are ordained of God. Amazing how I've repented. I'm not even a fundamentalist. I'm preaching this club you to death stuff. I don't preach God put the punctuation in. I know the translators did. But Romans makes it very clear, those that are in government are ordained of God. Gilbert Lindsay, by the criteria of Romans 13, is ordained of God. Every council member is ordained of God. A true fundamentalist has got one answer. When the council proposed it, they say, yes, sir, or they are against God. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll show you. I Everybody needs to learn a little bit of Bible. Just stay standing up over there. This don't take long. Don't anybody move, except the cameraman. Let every soul, well, maybe they don't have souls. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, Romans 13, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This is an inerrant word of God, folks. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's what the Bible says, friend. The city council proposed this as a historic monument. To resist it is to resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. If you want to do evil works, they terrorize you. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Thou shalt have praise of the same. You'll be friends of politicians. God intended this whole encounter to show up the fundamentalists for their pharisaical, hypocritical, self-proclaimed superiority for what it really is. Damned hypocrisy. Two old cats. What do you think, folks? I didn't start this fight. I offered peace. I'm just going to set the record of truth straight and teach the good old inerrant word of God to you. Some of my kind of music. For classy people...